Well, I have lots of things I want to start with, and then a very full program. This is Carol, your host. Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad to have you here. I'm going to start out with some music. Thank you, Margaret, from a group called Ubaka Hill. It's called Don't Ever Stop. To dance, to sing, to play, to dream is to be filled with life so that we have the strength of will to survive personal and global challenges. And this goes out for Valentine's Day for all of the love and healing that we want to send out to our friends everywhere, close and far, Melech, Marcy, David, Susan, and also for the event that goes on today all over the world, 1 Billion Rising, with women and men choosing to stand up and dance to stop violence in our world. Thanks for being here. It's going to be a great show. Okay, folks, don't ever stop singing, dancing, dreaming. And my first guests are going to tell us how we're going to do that next weekend at the Seaside Jazz Festival. Let's hear a little of the music, a new group that they're bringing in this year.
Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the things you used to do. Cause I was a motivating over the hill. I saw a Maybelline in a Coupe de Ville. Cadillac a rolling on the road. Nothing outrun my VA4. Cadillac a doing about a 9 to 5. She was a bumper to bumper, going side to side. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back a doing the things you used to do. Cadillac a pulled up 100 to 4. The four got hot and wouldn't do no more. Done got cloudy and started to rain. Passing lane, rain was blowing all under my hood. I knew that was doing my motor good. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back at doing the things you used to. Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back at doing the things you used to do. The motor cooled down, the heat went down. That's when I heard that highway sound. Cadillac sitting like a ton of lead, 110, a half a mile ahead. Cadillac looking like a set and still, and I caught Maybelline at the top of the hill. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back and doing the things you used to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's kind of familiar. And we're going to hear about this brand new group. Well, brand new to us, the Memphis Boys. I have two guests here, my regular for the Seaside Jazz Festival. Oh, you know, I didn't pull your mics a little bit closer to you. Go ahead and do that. Yeah. And that would be Ruth Johnson. And this year we also have Judy Shook, who is in my, oh, look at this. Judy Shook is in my good book. How do you like that? We get poetry right off the bat because she brought part of my life from the old days, and that was very exciting, actually. So they're here because next week, and that is actually starting on Thursday, February 20th, all the way through Sunday, the 23rd, there will be 12 bands in 5 venues for the Seaside Jazz Fest, and it's a terrific festival. And KMUN actually used to broadcast it in the original days. So welcome,
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Ruth and Judy, this is terrific. How you doing? Are you still breathing? And you know,
I
know
deeply. We're deep breathing now.
Deep breathing. Yeah, these festivals are just exhausting to put on. But once, I mean, the adrenaline is probably still going afterwards. You go over the edge.
That's true. That's true.
So tell us about these bands and tell us about this Memphis Boys. They were singing Maybelline, which a lot of folks know, and the photo on the front of their album, Whole Lot of Shaking Going On, is a probably a Lindy Hop kind of looking folks, except he's in a suit. I never saw anybody wearing a suit when
no.
we did this.
No.
Who are these folks?
That is Dave Bennett and the Memphis Boys. And Dave Bennett himself is an incredible musician. He was been a clarinet player for a number of years with the New Reformation Band out of Michigan, okay. and also Wally's Warehouse Waifs from Michigan.
Oh, I remember them.
And
yeah.
He started playing clarinet with them when he was 13, and he's now, I think, 28 or 29. And last year, in February, just before the Seaside Jazz Festival, he played at the Schnitz, and he did a Benny Goodman concert, and he was a solo on the clarinet. So he's multi-talented.
Wow.
Multi-talented.
And he's only, what, 28, did you say?
28, 29.
Well, this is terrific. This means
I believe he's self-taught, isn't he?
Yes.
So we have a long way to go with him, too.
Yes.
If he's that young, that's terrific. So, and you knew him from the other bands, or how did you connect with
him? Well, a little of both. I have been a big fan of his when he was playing the clarinet, and then a couple of years ago, when we were in Sacramento to the big jazz festival, we saw him with the Memphis Boys and fell in love with him, and we weren't the only ones. By the end of the weekend, there were people following him around, and there was standing
nice.
Room only. And but we already had all of our bands hired for last year, but he went to the top of our list for 2014.
Great.
So
now, I said you have 12 bands. How many of them are returnees, and how many are, is this the only brand new band, or some of them?
We have one more new band that's never been here before, and that's the Climax Jazz Band, and they're coming from Toronto, Canada.
Oh,
and they're the traditional jazz sound, so you're going to, and it's English trad, if people have the preference of the type of trad they like.
Can you explain that? Because some of us have no idea what that means.
Well,
not really.
It's the difference between the different instruments, and so in certain trad, like English trad, it's usually a stand-up bass rather than the tuba. that does the background sound. And so we're going to have bands that have both. We have High Sierra with a tuba player. Mm-hmm. We have Uptown Lowdown out of Seattle that has a tuba player.
You know, we love tubas around here. We have our own tuba quartet,
as you know. I'm a big tuba fan, actually.
Uh-huh.
Me too. Or if they do the stand-up bass. And then we have the Blue Street Jazz Band that's coming, and their young man who plays tuba and bass.
Oh, he not at the same time, however.
No.
some of these people, exactly. I know I took a picture one time. A guy had a drum on one side, and he had a horn of some sort on the, you know, in one hand, and the drums on the other, and he's going back and forth. And, wow. He was young also. A lot of energy. You know, some people have been asking about this because from a different angle, they're saying, okay, what does this mean? Seaside Jazz Festival. Now, this is actually the 31st festival, and which means that KMUN and the Seaside Jazz Festival, by another name, but still Seaside, they started the same year. And that's how we got linked in together. But what did you start as at the original?
It started out as the Oregon Dixieland Jubilee, and it was held in Seaside and Astoria at the same time. And the bands traveled back and forth between the two towns, and there were venues in Astoria and venues in Seaside. I don't think with the traffic today it would be even possible to move bands back and forth, let alone patrons.
And it's crazy. It was crazy to begin with. But what made you go from, at that time was it straight Dixieland, would you say?
Yes.
So what made the transition for you? What made you decide to do that? Go ahead, Judy.
With the name, you mean?
No, with the music. Well, I'm presuming the music guided the name change.
Maybe not. A lot of our patrons referred to it as the Seaside Jazz Festival rather than Oregon Dixieland Jubilee.
Yeah.
We have started to diversify in the music to try and capture a younger audience, perhaps. I just had word from a friend that attended a festival in Fresno, and she said, oh my, we have to get the younger people in because the seniors are not able to, they enjoy the music, but not able to dance, and that's a lot of the thing.
Was it 2 or 3 years ago that a group of young people came specifically to dance? I don't know whether they were from Portland or Salem or...
Portland and Seattle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were amazing. We cleared the floor and just everybody was watching them because they were doing the, you know.
The Lindy and swing and all of that.
High tech Lindy, you know, stuff that most of us couldn't do anymore, even if we knew how to do it.
Yeah,
And also why I said that about Judy's in my good book, because she brought with her an article. Was that in the Daily Astorian?
Yes.
Is that where it was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was 1986.
Right.
It was at the Elks. And what is the name of the
Ada Wilson.
Ada was 77 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 28 years ago. So we do the math, and we suspicion that Ada is no longer with us, although she's probably dancing up a storm wherever she is.
Loved to dance.
Yeah. And she was... Yeah, she put me to shame, that's for sure. She was hot. But I think there were a lot of people, and I was mentioning that, you know, in the old days they had umbrellas. Do you think they will still?
Yes, especially on Sunday morning when we have our gospel services, there will be umbrella parades, and those are open to the public. You don't have to buy a ticket to get in for the Sunday morning gospel. We'll have two of them both at the convention center, and they start at 9:30, but you better get there a little early so you can get a place to park.
Two different ones?
Yes,
in the two different rooms in the convention center,
yes.
Having that convention center is very helpful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You've got all these different venues, so
it's
quite nice. Okay, so we're not going to give specific prices, but we will tell you that, am I right, you can get a 3-day badge?
That's correct.
And or, what else can you do?
You can do just Friday, and the music starts at 3 o'clock at the Convention Center on Friday, or you can do an all-day Saturday, or if you just want to come for Saturday night, we also, after 5:30, sell a Saturday night only badge, and then there's just a Sunday badge.
Okay.
And children can... 14 to 21 can have the whole weekend for $15.
Whoa, that's fantastic.
And under Under 14 is free with a parent, of course.
Yes, of course. They'll all drop their kids off, right?
No.
They can see it now. The rates are well worth it. The music is fabulous. And some people choose to just go into one venue and stay there.
Yes, you
and
can
others,
do that.
You have a yes. shuttle bus or what?
Yes, we do. The bands will travel to the different venues. Every band will play every venue at least once. And so if you have
nice.
Your favorite venue, you can just spend the whole weekend there and the music will come to you. If you have a favorite band like Dave Bennett and the Memphis Boys,
right.
then wherever they go, you can follow that band.
Them.
And once you buy your button to get in for the weekend or the day, we'll get you into any of the venues. And yes, we do have a shuttle that will take you to the different venues.
Tell us the different ones besides the convention center,
convention,
which you don't need a shuttle for.
No. Yeah. Once you get there, there's three venues at the convention center, two with dance floors, one listening only. Then there's a venue at the Seaside Shiloh Oceanfront and at the Seaside Elk. And those two also have dance floors.
Wow.
And there's food and beverage available at every venue.
Right. So really you can just show up and buy your ticket and just hang out and listen to fabulous music. Get up and dance if you want to. Watch the dancers or just groove to the music. It's just amazing. And the bands are coming. Is Tom Rigney coming back again?
Yes, he is.
My heartthrob. And Flambeau. The whole band, they're all my heartthrob. And I know Annie's out there listening. And a few other people fell in love with this band. That was one of the first to my ear that was not Dixieland.
Yeah, he plays a little Zydeco and
New Orleans
style music, but with that electric fiddle and
some bluesy kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of these people are also wonderful, in addition to being wonderful musicians, they're wonderful performers.
Yes.
They really connect with the audience, so it's very exciting.
Yeah.
Should people dress up?
You can wear anything you want. You are going to see boas. You're going to see sparkles. You're going to see blue jeans and boots. We have a website, www.jazzseaside.com. We have some pictures on there from years past. So that would give you a little clue as to what you might pull out of the closet or buy something new.
Yeah. And it's a good way. Do you have all the listing of the bands and stuff on the website as well?
We do. And not only that, but you can click on the listing and it will open up and you have an opportunity to listen to their music
so that you can see
if you like that band or not.
Okay, folks, if you're somewhere else and you're thinking, what? This sounds fabulous. What a great excuse to go to the Oregon coast. Listen in, check it out, and you still have time to get here from anywhere in the world, even. Unless you're snowed in, sorry. So I've got a sheet you gave me, and it's got, tell me if all of these are really coming, Titan Hot 7, Ivory and Gold, Blue Street. I feel like this is family already. It's been so. Tom Rigney and Flambeau. High Sierra, We Three, Uptown Lowdown, we've known them forever, the original Wildcat Jazz Band, and that's SS, Cornet Chop Suey, Climax Jazz Band, Dave Bennett and the Memphis Boys, and Bob Draga with Friends. And why is Bob Draga a guest artist? Is he somebody famous or something?
Pretty much.
Yes, if you're on the jazz circuit, he is famous. He is he plays clarinet, so when he sits in with other bands, he'll be playing the clarinet. But he put together his own quartet that he was really anxious for everybody to hear, and so he's going to be here in two capacities, one as a guest artist, actually three, because he plays the clarinet with We Three, which is the band that we'll be playing on Thursday night at the Elks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what's that? That's a special, isn't it?
Yes, this is something new that we're doing, a kind of a kickoff. It's $10 at the door. It's not included in the badge price, but the doors will open at 6, and the music starts at 7. There'll be food and beverage available. This is at the Seaside Elks Lodge.
Okay.
And,
Excellent. It's going to be a fabulous weekend. It's going to be an overwhelming weekend, and you'll hear that at the end of this show. We have the other festival that's happening the same weekend, although I understand that maybe next year, the two festivals won't come together, the Fisher Poets and the Seaside Jazz. It would be nice, because I want to be in both places. And it's if you were all in Astoria, it might be possible, but Seaside and Astoria. But this is terrific. Again, Seaside... Oh, The website is jazzseaside.com, and it's the Seaside Jazz Festival, Thursday through Sunday, Feb 20 through 23 in Seaside, Oregon. Be there and have a fabulous time. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for
Ruth Johnson
us.
And Judy Shook. And thanks for bringing me a little of my own personal history. I just love it. Oh, my God. What a trip. Okay.
Oh, and I want to give you this as well.
Oh, thank you. Okay. And I'm going to put some music on now from some other favorites, and then I'll bring in my next group. I have one festival that's happening tomorrow. Whew, thank goodness, because I just couldn't stand next weekend doing more. But it's the Festival of the Dark Arts. We talked to them with them last weekend. And Hook and Anchor, that'd be Luke and Katie, and who knows who else, brought a CD in for Albert. I heard him playing it. I said, I need to play that for folks. This is brand new, and we all know and love Luke and Katie and whoever else is on the way. Have a listen. Stay tuned. Thanks, folks. And this is called Wild Wind. You got it.
Driving across the ocean, on the white, white, gloomy wild wind, best to stay inside. Winds pours down on us, tides running high, nothing as cold as wood is ever gonna dry.
Best not stay inside if you live around here. Whoa, hello. No, don't stay inside, folks. But do stay off the road if you can when those winds are blowing or the snow is falling or ice or stuff like that. But for goodness sake, don't stay inside because there's just so much going on here just for you. And my next guest is one of our new artists in town. She's going to give us a quick rundown on a brand new gallery. Well, I'm not sure if it's brand new because I think there's Cheryl Redburn's Indie Hair Gallery. Is that what it's called?
Well, it has been called the Hair Gallery. It was a styling salon.
Right.
And
so it was a styling salon, and she hung art around the room.
Until now. She's starting school part time, so she cut back on the gallery space. I mean, the salon space. So there was a big empty wall that could be used for hanging art.
Yeah. And you live in Astoria in Clatsop County. It's
yes,
gotta have art, of course. So it's called, I like this, Indie Hair Gallery, and it's kind of like indie. It's wait till you hear where it's located, folks. It's got the hottest location in town. The address is 2921 Marine Drive. It's right between Annie's and the Desdemona. And if you don't know about those two places, when you go to Indie Hair, check them out. Annie's and the Dirty D. And I'm very excited to hear that Cheryl is going back to school and doing more art herself.
So. Yes.
Now, who are you, Rosalie Altina, is that how you say it?
Altina.
Altina. Yes. Okay, as in alternative.
Very good. There
Altina.
You go.
Okay, and how long have you been around here?
6 months.
Okay, yeah, your face looked a little familiar. I went out there, and there are masses of people, and I looked around, I said, this is a woman I don't know, but I've seen before. So where'd you come from, Rosalie?
I moved most recently from the Spokane area. But the last 12 years, I have been living without my own living space and have traveled all over the country and a few times out of the country. So,
okay. Have you been able to make art while you were traveling?
Yes and no.
Okay. Well, first tell us what's your medium or media or mediums?
My medium at this time is watercolor, but it's quite different than what you might envision when you hear the word watercolor. It's very bright, dynamic color, opaque, layered, detailed, symbolic. If you think of kind of an amalgamation of all the indigenous arts, it's probably the closest to imagining what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time it's on paper, sometimes wood or canvas.
So when you say indigenous arts, is there mythology involved? Or
well, it's
representative
not,
or?
It's not intentional. It's just the style that came out of me. And so I didn't study a particular group of people and intend to work out of that mythology. So it's a very personal and archetypal form that comes out. Sometimes I really get the meaning that I painted, and sometimes I never do. So it's very intuitive. I try to be completely authentic and from the heart.
Sounds like an artist to me. And we're going to be able to see this tomorrow. This is going to be the first show, as Rosalie said. Indie Hair Gallery is going to be showing art. It's going to be showing art of a number of artists. Am I right?
Yes.
Like seven or eight?
We have seven or eight right now, and there are several others that are interested but couldn't participate this time. So the gallery is really an evolving experience.
Okay. And it's going to be open on Saturdays, and tomorrow is the grand opening. And that's from 3 till 8. And not only is it an art show, but it's also a Valentine's Day party. I have no idea what that's going to mean. Do you?
We have some seed of an idea. Yvonne Edwards, who was the voice who was going to be here, and it's her birthday. So we all wish her happy birthday. It's a big special one.
Yes, it is.
She created one of those cutout posters that's big red hearts and pink flowers.
Right.
And you can have your picture taken with that. And if she's there, she'll take the picture and email it to you, and you can do what you want, or you can take your own pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got some Valentine goodies That's part of it. And then we also, we were planning to be open last week, but we canceled.
Good decision.
It was. We also have a component of the wall that relates to the Au Naturel show.
Oh, good.
So we have some nudes.
Nudes both. Downtown. Yes. That's right. You were going to be part of that. Yeah. So is this going to be like a cooperative gallery?
It is at this time, yes. Okay. That's how it's set up.
Do you expect to be there tomorrow?
I do,
and
yes.
Probably some of the other artists, yes, too. It looked like these were local artists.
Right.
Go ahead, yeah.
Yvonne, as I mentioned, and then Cheryl Redburn, who is the owner of the gallery, and Jeanette Davis, who also has a show open at Grace Episcopalian right now. Mm-hmm. Yvonne also shows at Tempo. And Brian Jordan, who is another new artist in town from Kansas City. And Tom Dickerson, who is from Seaside. He does photography. And Blaine Verley. And Catherine Almatine. Is that? And Catherine doesn't have work this time, but she's planning to be involved. And there are a few others that are interested. They won't be showing tomorrow night, but in the future plan to join.
Well, this was, there were folks who were working in a gallery right next to the Gimmerys for a while. And some of these same names I'm hearing pop up. So wonderful. I mean, the more art, the better. So, well, congratulations to you for finding a good place to live and for also to the gallery, to Cheryl and everybody at Indie Hair Gallery. Again, that's 2921 Marine Drive between Annie's and the Desdemona. And that's tomorrow from 3 till 8 p.m. And it sounds as though it's only going to be open on Saturdays at this point. So come tomorrow or come on by next week. My guest, Rosalie Altena.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay,
very
great.
Good.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, and
I look forward to seeing your work.
Yes.
It looks like your work may be something like the way you're dressed. Yeah, beautiful. It's exciting and vibrant. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I couldn't resist because, we're getting really close. As I mentioned with my last guest, the Seaside Jazz Festival is next weekend from Thursday to Sunday. Well, if you live in Astoria, there's no way you could not know that next weekend is also the 17th Annual Fisher Poets Gathering. Yeehaw! And I've got a couple of the hot shots from there. That'd be Jay Speakman and John Broderick. They're with me here in the studio. And actually, they have a brand new CD. So I'm going to put that on a bit and then let them... I'll put a little bit of it on and then I'll let you hear them talk.
Is low. What's that UFO? No radio, no running lights, sneaking up the slew in the middle of the night. Boats to the north and boats to the south, but lots of room at the river mouth. He winks at his men and says, let's take a look. Nets to the left and nets to the right, they're sieving black water at the set net sight, but the fog is thick, the night is black. Where'd he go?
He'll be right back.
Go. No one needs to know what's a floating UFO. No radio, no running lights, sneak no zoo in the middle of the night.
Ooh, wow, that is some nice music as well as scary words. Hey, so my guests are John Broderick and Jay Speakman, and what is this song that I'm hearing? Do you know what the name of it is? Is it UFO or something?
Well, yeah, we would.
Have you named it yet?
Yeah, that's the UFO swing. It's an unidentified floating object, of course.
Oh, of course.
Got a guy looking for some fish where he oughtn't.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, and you, it's not just the two of you on this album,
no,
is it?
No, we invited Mike Corey from Cannon Beach, who's got Michael's music down there, to play a little bit with us, just to do something more interesting for the CD. And he was real generous with his time and talent. And so he sits in on four or five there with us. So that excellent guitar playing you hear isn't mine. That's Mike's.
You know, nobody would know, but honest engines here. Okay. Well, it's all happening next weekend for the public. But it's been happening probably for a whole year for you guys, huh? Have you been working on it for...
As soon as this thing is over, we go dormant for 6 months.
Oh, do you? You do take a little break.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons it's
keeps
so
your mental
thrown together.
Health.
Yeah. If we really did it right, we'd work on it all year. But we kind of fire up again in November.
Yeah, but then you'd collapse instead of being able to take part in it. So it's not what he says, because if you look at the website, you will be as wowed as I. Did you get that email I sent? When I looked at the website and I went, wow, this is gorgeous. It's just, I don't know who does your website, but there's so, you do. Okay, John. Well, good job, because there is so much information on there, including all the schedules already. That's all?
Already, yeah. The week before the event, we finally got the schedule up on the website. So color-coded, so you don't get Friday and Saturday mixed up. And
so, okay, so there, yes, I noticed that. Plus the special events are set aside. Yeah, it's good.
Oh,
for those of us who are a bit challenged technically. So, Fisher Poets Gathering, why don't you give us a little bit of background? Because there are actually people listening all over the world who know nothing about this festival.
Well, John, sitting next to me here, is probably, I'm sure he's told this story plenty of times, but it would be probably better if I tried to describe it from my perspective. John has fished in Alaska for 30-some years, and he's still involved in Nishigak Bay and Bristol Bay, fishing salmon in the summers. And some years back, of course, this would be about 1998, the idea was floated that, you know, a bunch of people might be willing to get together and tell stories, maybe spin some yarns and do some poetry. And so John made the first phone calls, and 40 people responded.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of the gathering.
So were those mostly local people, or were they from where?
Well, they would have been from John's address book, which would have stretched pretty much the whole West Coast.
Mm-hmm. You know, actually, I think in those days there was a wonderful industry magazine called the Alaska Fisherman's Journal that John Van Amerongen was editing. And that journal, in addition to the usual industry news that you'd expect, always ran poems, or largely poems, you know.
John Van Am is still around, isn't he?
Yeah,
isn't
indeed. He's coming back this year, too.
That's
he's been
great.
Busy with other things, but good. This year he's coming back to join us.
Yeah.
And he gave us the email list for, or the phone list, I guess, or I don't know. He gave us the addresses for the people who had submitted work over the years there. And that was, Jay was mentioning, those 40 people I wrote suggesting they might like to come to our story and tell some stories together. 39 of them said, well, that'd be. We'll come.
Wow.
And they showed up at the Wet Dog.
Just like that?
Yeah,
were you
pretty much.
Part of that group at the
No,
beginning?
No, I was just, I had just moved here a couple of years before that. Wasn't even aware of it until I, some neighbors of mine told me, hey, you got to check this out. And I had fished for, you know, a number of years. And so I showed up at the Wet Dog, and it wasn't long before I decided I wanted to be part of it, so.
He's part of it now, baby.
Yeah.
Once you're in, you ain't getting out. Well, so when did you, Jay, when did you and John start playing music together?
Well, we're not exactly sure, but it's been about 10 years, I think, at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was that, did that come out of Fisher Poets?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I met John. I met John at Fisher Poets probably around 2000.
It seems that there are a lot of people who, I mean, a lot of these people come from all over and they know each other or they know of each other, but then new alliances seem to happen as well. And also you mentioning Joan Van Am's publication and other people do things, Mo Bowstern and stuff, and so people connect with them and start sending them stuff. I mean, this has just exploded the scene. Actually, I don't think there was a scene called Fisher Poets, although you say they did publish some, but not.
There have been some spinoffs, though. You know, it's funny, we started something that has kind of taken hold, and there are now gatherings in other places on the other coasts, like back in the East Coast, that have sprung up, and we've actually been invited back there, and they've been very generous to us. But we've also, I was asked to help try and get one going in Maine, which is where I'm from, and we actually got a little gathering going there in November, the fourth year, I think.
It's November in Maine.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
It's a very small gathering, but they there's some talented people there, a lot of fishermen there, so you know it's starting to be a way for people to trade stories and maybe start writing a little bit more and getting a little more serious about maybe documenting some of their experiences.
And I've heard that numerous times for people who've come on this show who said that the having the festival happen has inspired them to write. It wasn't something that they thought of doing. I mean, they always jotted things down, but now they find themselves wanting to do this and taking part because it's everything. It feels good. It's also very poignant. The spirit that goes on, even I am not a fisher in the least, but being around the folks, the artistry, I mean, these two guys are amazing musicians, and that may not have been you on guitar, but I'm sure that was you on harmonica, wasn't it, Jay, on that piece?
Yeah, I play harmonica. John was on guitar on that piece, but there was an extra guitar in there, so that's why most people would recognize that there's more than two guitarists there.
But right.
Normally what we do, John and I play as a duo, and we've really enjoyed doing that, and we challenge each other. We actually help, you know, edit and write songs together. I've lost track. This is our third CD we've probably written between
exciting.
Us.
And this will be available at the Gear Shack next
probably week. Close to 40 songs that we've written together or separately, but they're about 15 songs on each CD, so that's over 40 that we've seemed to be able to spawn. And so it's been a nice outlet for us, and we've gotten to travel quite a bit to do this. And
don't you usually tell a story also, Jay, at Fisher Poets, in addition to the two of you making
music? I usually like
to
read something or recite something as well as the music. That's how I started. Before I even performed with John, I started doing these long ballads that I'd written. And I still enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do in 15 minutes, though. So
it's true. You know, although, you know, this is, again, a little bit like what Ruth and Judy were saying about the Seaside Jazz Festival. You can stay in one venue. How many venues are there for this, for the Fisher Poets Gathering?
In the evening venues, there are six of them.
Six or seven venues.
Yeah, then we, yeah. So you can do exactly that, Carol. You can stay in one place and let it come to you, like set netters do, or you can go chase a talent and maybe miss something. And
I know.
Like the Saners do, I guess.
I like that. That's good. You give people title. There's also, tell folks who are hearing it for the first time how they plug into this, and also about the Gear Shack, what that's about.
Well, I'll tell you, now that you've asked, one way that folks can plug in is do as you're doing and volunteer. We rely on the goodwill of the community to make this happen, and have studiously avoided making any money out of it all these years. And it's one thing that's kept it so authentic and fun. We need a lot of volunteers just to help us at the door and in the Gear Shack and so forth. So if folks are interested yet in helping out, they're sure welcome to check us out at the website and fisherpoets.org, and they can email me, and I'll sign them up with a place.
And I've just, well, it's just in the last couple of days that I volunteered, and I have to say, I think it makes it that much more fun, because for those of us who aren't reading or singing or selling our art, it's nice to have a way to be part of it.
Yeah, you really, and volunteers really are a part. It's a gathering. It's a collection of people.
It's a
all
family.
Putting something together collectively. The town, the venues, the people who come, the broadcasters. It's really a wonderful community effort.
Yeah. And we got people coming from...
Oh, my goodness.
We have somebody coming all the way from England, actually, and with a BBC person to... Katrina will be on next week on this show and probably on others as well. But you've got people coming from Alaska, no doubt, and the whole West Coast. Anywhere else unusual?
Well, oh. Jay and I met back in New Bedford last year, a gal from the Chesapeake, from the Waterman family there for a long, long time. She's going to join us too, Janice Marshall.
Cool.
And
she's from a small island that's pretty much 100% fishing community,
wow.
One of the very few that are left in that mid-coast region.
So she'll have some tales to tell.
She's got a lot of stories to tell.
And and of course, we have our cowboy cowboy poet who is comes in spurs and 10-gallon hat and is becoming part of the family as well.
Ron McDaniel, he's the ambassador to the cowboy culture for us.
The ambassador.
Spoke to him today, as a matter of fact, so he's fired up.
All right. Is anyone else coming from the East Coast that you know of?
Yes, yeah, we have a terrific group of people from the East Coast. John Campbell's coming back out.
Oh, he is coming this year? Good.
Yeah, we're really glad he's coming.
He's a hoot.
Bob Powell comes up from Florida. He brings a tropical point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Pomeroy, I've not met Fred. I've read his stuff, but he's another Chesapeake Bay guy who's going to come out and join us. The Souls of the Sea are back, and this time they're bringing a trio with them.
I love them. Yeah, I noted them down. They played the first time I heard them sing, and they sing a Nova Scotia song, and that just took my heart immediately. So
yeah, they're going to give us a whole concert on Friday night at the Wet Dog, so it's going to be...
Yeah. So check out the website. It's very simple, fisherpoets.org. And KMUN is part of the sponsorship, so we are very proud to be part of this, and... don't miss it, folks. Even if you want to split your time, don't miss it. Jay Speakman, John Broderick, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you so much for making this happen. And I can't wait till next weekend. Okay. I've got a bevy of people coming in right now. I'll put on a little music from Naomi Hooley, who is now known as Moody Little Sister. And they are playing at... the Fort George on Sunday night.
Spin outside of a house and a kitchen sink, a black peacock. Some old photographs just swirling around in the air. On the eve of destruction, did you see the sky?
Moody Little Sister playing in the background. I'm running out of time, folks. I've got this fabulous 6 people, 6 young women in here. Well, 5 very young and 1 young. But I do want to just quickly mention that the Tomasian Trio, as well as the Dan Crothers Trio, are having a grand opening tonight at the Living Room in Seaside. And that's all weekend. Friday and Saturday, they've got 2 spaces, so it's 6:30 to 9:30. Coaster Theater at Doll's House tonight and tomorrow night, and Sunday, Tsunami Bar and Grill, Denise Drake, and a special dinner. Sweet Basil's got music all weekend. Foley Sisters, happy birthday. Heather Christie and Athena Patterson at Vino Manzanita, Full Moon Drumming, and Sandtrap, Rose Windows. Tomorrow, don't forget the Festival of Dark Arts from 2 till 10 on Brewery Block. That'd be between 14th and 15th on Duane, Fort George Brewery and all its buildings. And it's going to be fabulous. Zentangle Meditative Drawing Class at the Pearl in Tillamook. Indie Hair Gallery, 3 to 8. Karen Carbo, a fabulous writer. Julia Child Rules at the Hoffman tomorrow night at 7, along with Open Mic. I'll let them tell you about that. And on Sunday, quick rundown, the Astoria Music Festival, Amy Hansen and Hideki Yamaya, 7 o'clock at Grace Church in Astoria, both fabulous. Arnica Quartet from 2 to 4 at the McTavish with Benjamin Britten and Schubert. Bay City Arts Center Open Mic, Moody Little Sister at the Fort George, River Sea 1 to 3, Robert Paulman is doing a demo with Model, and Riverbend Players has auditions. Don't forget the Astoria City Council on Tuesday and Liz Cole on Thursday at the Hoffman. Hey, I've got the Astor Street Opry Company here in, my gosh, this is a huge group of people. Okay, now, what you're going to have to do, I didn't have time to instruct you. What you're going to have to do is kind of lean into the mics when you talk. So if you're not near a mic, come on in. Not too close, but okay. So why don't you give us your names like this, all the way across. Start there.
My name is Megan Griffin.
My name's Riley Mitchell.
Oh. My name's Emily Bergerson.
My name's Josie Posey.
My name's Nicole Ramsdell.
And I'm Judith Nyland.
Oh, now that one sounds familiar. And some of those last names do, too. What's the age range of you five? Judy, I won't ask yours.
We're all 11 and 12.
11 and 12. And why are you here? What fabulous thing is the Astor Street Opry Company doing this time?
Well, we're doing children's theater, and the play is The Adventures of Beatrix Potter and Her Friends.
And who are her friends?
There are the different stories that she writes.
Okay, so Beatrix Potter is what? Is she a human?
Yes.
Okay, and are all the people in this play human? You guys look human. Oh, you're not. Okay.
No.
Could have fooled me. What are they?
Well, some of them are humans and some of them are animals.
So you have special costumes?
Yeah.
Are some of you actually crawling around on the ground?
Oh, yeah.
You
No.
I might. I get a tablecloth.
They haven't told you that part yet, have they? Oh, okay. Well, you might find out. When does this show open?
On the 20th or the 21st.
21st. Okay. 21st. Right. I have the 21st.
21st. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next Friday.
It's Friday the 21st. And
yes.
It runs all the way through March 9th.
Yeah, three mm-hmm. weeks.
Friday's at 7
mm-hmm.
and Saturday and Sunday at 2. Oh, that's
right.
Wonderful.
Yep.
3 weeks. So we have time to see this play. Just call out what role you're playing, or roles if you're playing more than one. Just call it out. Go ahead.
I play two parts, Simpkin the cat and the farmer's wife.
Have you ever been a cat before?
No.
Okay, is that fun?
Yeah.
Okay, well, don't tell my dog, okay, because he might get a little upset. Yes.
I'm Beatrix Potter.
Oh, you are. Okay. And you speak in regular to your animals.
Yeah.
Do you have a special communication with animals? Is that why you're...
Yes. Yes, I do.
You do. Who is Beatrix Potter? Was she a real person?
Yes, she was. She is an author. She's a very famous author.
So did she... So somebody put her stories together to make this play. Is that how it happened?
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically,
I like
based
it.
Based on her stories.
Okay. But Astor Street Opry didn't do it.
No, we didn't do it. It's a copyrighted show.
Copyrighted show. Okay. So go ahead and tell us what roles you're playing.
Mother Rabbit, Hunka Munga, and Rebecca Puddle Duck.
Wait a minute. Hunka Munga?
Hunka Munga.
Hunka Munka. Oh, that's better. What
that's
the heck is a
mouse?
It's a mouse.
Oh, not a monkey.
A
okay.
Bad mouse.
No. Okay. How about you in the back there?
I play
Jane, which is a doll, and Jemima Puddle Duck.
Jemima Puddle Duck. She's got some good names here. What about you?
I play Annie Carter Moore.
That's a human, I guess.
Yeah, it was Beatrix's governess, and the mother of the children Beatrix wrote most of the stories to.
Wow. How long have you guys been working together to do this play?
About 2 months, 3 months.
Do you live in Astoria, or you live in different places? Anybody not live in Astoria?
I live in Warrenton.
Warrenton.
I live in Astoria.
Anybody else besides Warrenton?
Seaside.
Seaside, okay.
Seaside, Hammond.
Oh, you're all
I think
over
we have someone
place.
From Gearhart, too.
Wow.
Astoria.
How many kids are there in this play?
About 30. No, I 20, thought
20,
20, 30. 22. About there.
Who's directing this play?
Heather Ramsdell.
How old is Heather?
She's 38.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, you know exactly, huh?
Because it's her mom.
I was going to say, somebody's brave to take on 30 young people and put them in a play.
And they also have Mary Ritter is doing the production management, and Kim Mitchell is helping, too.
Excellent.
So it's a great team of people. It's so wonderful what we have doing.
Do you have any boys in this play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah? Is it fun working together, all of you?
Yeah.
We've had a good time. Did you all know each other before?
Yeah. No.
Well, everybody here.
I knew it in my first play.
We met in our first play.
There's some new people in the cast this year, though.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's great. You know, the microphone is on, even if you... Okay. So, okay. So, this is, again, opening on the 21st. That's Friday night, a week from today. And it's at 7 o'clock Fridays. And Saturday and Sunday is at 2. And it is a bevy of delightful young people. Adventures of Beatrix Potter and Her Friends. Thank you so much for coming in to our next show. Thank you so much for listening.